This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Good evening. Today is Wednesday, May the 1st. This is Heather Kinney reading USA Today, Hour 3. That includes our local Cincinnati Enquirer obituaries, TV listings for this evening, and the life section of USA Today. I am reading for the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. We begin with our TV listings. Beginning this evening, 8 p.m. on WLWT NBC Local Channel 5, it is Chicago Med. At 9 p.m. on Channel 5, it is Chicago Fire. 10 p.m. on Channel 5, it is Chicago PD, followed by 11 o'clock news and The Tonight Show. 8 p.m. on WCPO, ABC Channel 9, Jeopardy! Masters Games 1 and 2. At 9 on 9, it's Abbott Elementary, followed by The Conners. 10 p.m. on Channel 9 is $100,000 Pyramid, followed by the Channel 9 News at 11 and Jimmy Kimmel Live. 8 p.m. on WKRC-CBS Local Channel 12, it's Survivor. That will run until 9:30. At 9:30 on Channel 12, it's The Amazing Race. Until 11 p.m., which we can watch the local Channel 12 news, followed by The Late Show. 8 p.m. on WXIX Fox Local 19, it's The Masked Singer. At 9 p.m. on 19, it's Animal Control and then Family Guy. Followed by at 10 and 11, the Fox 19 Now News at 10 and 11. And on WCET PBS Local Channel 48 at 8, it is Nature. At 9 on Channel 48, it is A Brief History of the Future. At 10 p.m., it is Nova. Followed by 11 p.m. on PBS 48, Almond Poor and Company. And now we move over to the obituaries for Wednesday, May the 8th, as listed in our Cincinnati Enquirer today. Anthony Robert Allen, aged 54, North Bend, Ohio, died on April 27th. Arrangements with Dennis George Funeral Home. Services listed as May 2nd at 12 noon at the Zion Church in Lawrenceburg. Marilyn Bush, age 96, of Coleraine Township, passed April 28th. Arrangements with Frederick Funeral Home. Services listed as May the 2nd, 10 a.m. at the St. James Church. Everett Leo McManus, listed as Ohio, died on April 27th. Arrangements with George H. Rohde and Sons. Services listed as May the 3rd at 11 a.m. at George H. Rohde and Sons Funeral Home. Ralph Moeller, aged 90, of Cincinnati, passed away April 26th at the age of 90. Visitations to be held at St. Gabriel Church in Glendale on May 2nd, 2024 at 11 a.m. until the Mass of Eternal Rest, which will be at noon. Joyce Ann Ravenscraft, 91, Sun City, Arizona, who is formerly of Hebron, Kentucky, passed on the 27th of April. Per her request, there is no funeral service to be held. Gerald, known as Jerry Schwartz, 91, of Cleves, passed on the 28th of April. Arrangements with Dennis George Funeral Home. Services May 2nd at 1 p.m. at Dennis George. James, known as Jay Whitmire, 61, of Fort Wright, Kentucky, died on 27th of April. Linneman Funeral Homes. Services to be held May 3rd at noon at the Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church. And Patricia Ann Werderman, 98, of Sycamore Township, passed on the 27th of April. Arrangements with Mahovic Rosenacker Funeral Home. Visitation Thursday, May 2nd, from 9 a.m. until the time of the Mass of Christian Burial at 11, will be held at St. Vincent Ferrer Church in Kenwood. That concludes this evening's listings for our local Cincinnati Enquirer obituaries, as listed in today's paper on May 1st. We'll now move over to the Life section of USA Today. And we begin the Life section with Lifeline, Making Waves, Tony Award nominees. Tony voters are in for an Empire State of Mind. Hell's Kitchen, a new Broadway musical featuring songs of Alicia Keys, led Tuesday's Tony Awards nominations with 13, including Best Musical and 4 acting nods. Loosely inspired by Keys' teenage years, the show follows a young girl, played by Malia Joy Moon, growing up in subsidized artists' housing as she discovers her love for the piano. Stereophonic, a 3-hour drama set entirely in a recording studio, tied Hell's Kitchen with 13 nominations, including Best Play, Score, and Orchestrations. The show follows a Fleetwood Mac-style band in the 1970s as they clash while making their next album. And if it's your birthday today, you celebrate in good company. Today, Tim McGraw is 57, Jamie Dornan is 42, and Victoria Monet is 35. Now time to move over to the horoscope. As sponsored by Sanctuary, you can always find more information at www.sanctuaryworld.com. We begin with Aries, March 21 through April 19. Are jealousies getting the better of you? Setting an ultimatum can backfire. Taurus, making the correct impression? Exercise caution. Venus clash with Pluto prompts manipulation tactics and coercive behavior. Gemini, May 21 through June 21. People expect you to agree with their beliefs. Refuse and you risk the losing the community. Cancer, June 22 through July 22. You're expected to pay your debts. This deal may be more than you bargained for. Leo, July 23 through April 22. Changing relationship dynamics? You and a loved one must acknowledge your diverging priorities. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. Compelling attractions? Someone captivating catches your eye, but take this one slow. Libra, September 23rd through October 23rd. Powerful infatuations? Someone lives rent-free in your mind, but is this attraction healthy? Scorpio, October 24 through November 21. Levying an accusation? Trust issues complicate romantic relationships. The root of this issue is fear. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. Trying to ignore the obvious? It may be impossible. This awakening is rude. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. Romantic relationships become stifling. Either you or your partner need to loosen the grip. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. Are you in or out? Relationships hit a crossroads. A hard decision must be made. And Pisces, February 19 through March 20. Are you romance ready? Unconscious fears hold you back from taking the plunge. This next article is our first major article of the evening. It's under the category of movies, titled Gosling Takes a Leap of Faith for Fall Guy Stunt Work. This is written by Kimmy Robinson of USA Today. For Ryan Gosling, becoming the Fall Guy meant facing his fear of heights. Early in the movie, which will be in theaters on Friday, the hotshot Hollywood stuntman he plays, Colt Seavers, performs a big fall with all the bravado of someone who has done this hundreds of times. To ask Gosling about it, however, that couldn't be further from the truth. "You could see the fear in my eyes," he says. "I have a fear of heights, and they dropped me 12 stories. I think I blacked out. Honestly, I don't remember much." In the scene, a harnessed colt is doubling for superstar Tom Ryder, played by Aaron Taylor Johnson. He suavely dons a pair of sunglasses before seemingly, thoughtlessly falling backward off of the 12th floor inside a high-rise. The shades were concealing the very real panic coursing through Gosling. Ryan had to put sunglasses on during that stunt because he was so scared. "He was worried you'd see the whites of his eyes," Emily Blunt says, who plays his ex-turned-love interest, Jodie Moreno. "You could hear a pin drop. I was very scared watching you do that." The movie is loosely adapted from the 80s hit show The Fall Guy, in which Lee Majors played Colt, a stuntman and a bounty hunter, and Heather Thomas was Jodie Banks, a fellow stunt performer. The parallels between the movie, directed by David Leitch, a former stuntman himself, and the TV series, more or less end there. Leitch's The Fall Guy is an all-gas, no-breaks action film interwoven with a love story between Colt and Jodie. But wait! There's also a ridiculous sci-fi film within a film that Jodie's directing and a dash of thriller as a murder is uncovered. It was a lot to accomplish, certainly more than what Gosling could do by himself. Though Blunt, aged 41, did all of her own stunts, "It took like 5 stunt guys to make one Fall Guy," Gosling says. Thankfully for Gosling, aged 43, his stunt doubles subbed in for him as Colt is set on fire, the work of Ben Jenkin, falls 150 feet from a helicopter, that's second-generation stunt guy Troy Brown, and rolls a car 8.5 times on a beach. This cannon roll stunt, performed by seasoned stunt driver Logan Holliday, broke a Guinness World Record. And Justin Eaton made Gosling look like a martial arts expert. Gosling, who has had a stunt double for most of my life, hails stunt performers as the unsung heroes of cinema. They do all this really dangerous, amazing stuff. They kind of come in and risk everything and then disappear. If they do their job well, you never know that they were there, he says. It's just so messed up that they don't get the credit that they deserve. At one point, Colt is deep in his feelings as he worries about Jodie's extreme reaction to his unexpected return from a self-imposed exile. In a scene that was teased during a Super Bowl commercial, Colt silently sits in a car, cloaked in darkness, as he mouths the words to the beloved Taylor Swift track, all too well. Gosling recently showing off his vocal chops in Barbie on the Oscars stage and during a Saturday Night Live All Too Well parody with Blunt, it's notable that he abstains from breaking out in song undefined. Why was that? I think he knows every line, Blunt says, but you can't out-Swift Swift. You don't even want to try. He's not an idiot, Gosling says. I think she was voicing his feelings, you know. She had the words that he couldn't say. And he was so grateful in that moment, adds Blunt. She has all the words for all of our broken souls. That's the truth. I think Colt's a diehard Taylor Swift fan, right? Making the film required Blunt and Gosling to travel to Sydney, where it was summer, while North America was in winter, which was not a coincidence. It was great to escape the New York winter. I was delighted, Blunt says. We were supposed to shoot the film somewhere else. I won't say where, but it didn't seem like it would be as fun for my kids, says Gosling, who is one of the film's producers. We all had a conversation about where it would be, and Australia was the perfect place. He adds, I've been lucky enough to have my family come with me on every film I've made so far. Gosling and Eva Mendes have two daughters, 9-year-old Esmeralda and 8-year-old Amada. Blunt and her husband John Krasinski also share two daughters, 10-year-old Hazel and 7-year-old Violet. Both our families were with us, so that obviously is essential if you're that far away. And it made it so much more effortless to be able to go to work knowing that we were all still together, Blunt says. It was wonderful. I didn't feel I had to juggle work and parenting. Thank God. The ambitious action scenes in The Fall Guy are made all the more dramatic by the fact that they take place at some of Australia's most famous sites, including the Sydney Opera House and Sydney Harbour Bridge. Both venues had to be temporarily closed so Gosling and Blunt could film otherworldly fight scenes and heart-pounding car chases. Shutting down the bridge was a bit of a full-circle moment for Gosling. I had been there 20 years earlier or something and climbed the bridge with my mom, and then got dragged across it this time, he says. So I've had a really interesting relationship with that bridge. One of these days, I'll just drive across it. This next article is under the category of streaming preview, titled Hacks Has Its Mojo Back. This by Kelly Lawler of USA Today. Doesn't it feel good just to feel good? There is a time and a place for serious, intense, important television that makes you think. But there's also a time and a place just to kick back, relax, and let the funny people entertain you. And Jean Smart? Yeah, she's pretty funny. Just in time to cheer us all up, Max's Hacks, which is streaming on Thursdays with 3.5 out of 4 stars, returns for season 3 with Smart, Hannah Eibender, and welcome new addition Helen Hunt for a smart, hollering good time of comedy about comedy. After a slightly lackluster second season in 2022, which seemed to tie up the story in a bow too soon, creators Paul W. Downs, Lucia Aniello, and Jen Statsky found the right way to continue the series about an aging comedian and her young writer. And while so many other shows go dark and depressing, Hacks has delightfully chosen joy and, of course, some insult comedy from Smart's Deborah Vance. We meet our fair Hacks a year after season 2 concluded, and all seems to be the tops for both Deborah and her former writer Ava, played by Eibender. Fresh off an acclaimed comedy special, Deb is on the Time 100 list, hosting award shows and generally living the lush life of the country's top funny women. Ava is writing for a Last Week Tonight-style topical comedy series, back together with ex-girlfriend Ruby, played by Lorenza Izzo, and making her own awkward mark on Hollywood. After firing Ava for her own good at the end of season 2, Deb has cut her former protege out of her life entirely, leaving Ava emotionally wrecked. A chance meeting at a comedy festival reunites them as friends after some forgiveness. Then, when Deb learns the late-night talk show she has almost hosted in her younger years is looking for a new MC, she cajoles Ava into joining her mission to land the gig. All Deb's hurdles, her age, her history, her gender, mean nothing to the woman when she sees something she wants. It takes a little time, but not perhaps as much as you might expect, to get Ava and Deb back together again so Hacks can resume their banter and intense relationship. And to the writer's credit, their reunion doesn't come without a cost. As Ruby reminds Ava, their relationship often was very toxic. Season 3 is all about new boundaries and beginnings, but also about the very real love between Deb and Ava, the unshakable foundation on which the show is built. But the superb cast of supporting characters doesn't disappoint. Downs and Meg Stalter, Meg Stalter, S-T-A-L-T-E-R, are the best slapstick duo on this side as Deb's managers, taking unhealthy relationships and cluelessness to the next level. Carl Clemens Hopkins, Marcus, has his own life together this year and is on an upward trajectory for change. But the most exciting character is Hunt, as a network TV president holding the keys to the job Deb so desperately wants. Caustic and powerful, Hunt walks into the room, or the pickleball court, with enough gravitas to knock anyone over. She's full of cynical one-liners and big woman-on-campus energy. It's like she has let loose after years of playing pinned-down characters. Other guest stars, including Christina Hendricks, Tony Goldwyn, and Patton Oswalt, are welcome additions. The episodes are bursting with energy, and it feels like the Hacks set was genuinely a fun place to be. You always can tell when the people making art love what they're doing. If season 2 sometimes felt like it was being dragged along from plot A to plot B in a desperate search for the funny, it was still good, just not as effortless as season 1. But the new episodes have that easy-breezy style back, without sacrificing substance. The jokes are funny, but the life isn't. Caitlin Olson returns as Deb's daughter DJ with more hard truths for her mother to hear. Ava's obsession with Deb may ruin her own relationship, and Deb may never be satisfied with her level of success, no matter how much she gets. But when they turn that pain into humor, well, thank goodness it's gold. And this next article is under the category of The Essentials. It's titled, Calling Counts on Work, Running is Therapy, and Silence in Sharpies. This written by Aaron Jensen of USA Today. In a new series, USA Today's The Essentials, celebrities share what fuels their lives. Never have I ever been able to spill Mindy Kaling's secrets for creating and staying sane while doing it, until now. The actor, screenwriter, author, director, producer is celebrating her 20th year in the biz after launching her career at 24 as the only female writer on The Office writing staff in 2004. Since Kaling has written 3 books and co-created TV comedies such as The Mindy Project, Never Have I Ever, and The Sex Lives of College Girls, Kaling also is mom to daughter Catherine, aged 6, and son Spencer, aged 3. Here's what the good Dr. Mindy Lahiri has ordered to keep Calling firing on all cylinders. Being creative each and every day is absolutely crucial for Calling. That, to me, as a comedy writer, is so vital, she says. Not only does it replenish me creatively, but it also pays the bills, she says with a laugh. Calling is particular about the tools that she uses to get her job done. She outlines her stories with the help of index cards and Sharpies, which she has used since her days on The Office, in which she played the witty, as she was self-involved, Kelly Kapoor. I'm more of a visual learner than I thought I was, because I really need to see a story's beginning, middle, and end, says Calling, a fan of Sharpie's creative markers and Papermate Inkjoy Gel Bright pens. Calling acknowledges the challenges of being a writer. It's hard to make a good living doing it, and I've only had success by creating my own stories, which I know everyone has said, she says. Calling benefited from learning things that I didn't want to learn, like filming and editing. I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to be a writer. And then I found out that, wow, those are other tools for storytelling. So I had to edit, direct, act. These were not the things I wanted to do, and I found so much joy from being forced to do them. Calling's workout routine includes therapy of running. Movement is a must for Calling, who loves jogging and running. I think that really takes the place of, honestly, even therapy, she says with a laugh. I find it incredibly joyous to do that. Her jaunts last more than an hour, and she's jamming to tunes to pull her through. If I cannot listen to music, I think it's so tedious, she says. I'm that insane person that will listen to one song 9 times in a row till it goes from something where I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Do I like it? Do I not? To then it's a jam that I have memorized. She's constantly looking for new music to jazz up her workouts and is currently spinning Beyoncé's Texas Hold'em and English bands such as Depeche Mode. She needs tracks that are upbeat because when it's slow, I become slow. And when it's fast, it makes me want to run or jog faster. The beach is her form of meditation. Calling and her kids frequent Malibu's stunning oceanfront. We have a little place on the beach, she says. I was never someone growing up that was a beach person, but I do think when I go for a walk on the beach, it's the closest I get to meditating. Calling relishes the silence. With all that Calling has going on, she finds herself craving moments of quiet. I like silence more than I used to as a kid or even as someone in my 20s, she says. It used to make me nervous, and now I look forward to it. At work, she collaborates with 8 people in her writer's room and 150 on set, she says. And at home, she gets to enjoy her kids, whom she describes as wonderful, loud creatures. So retreating to a place where she can find stillness is key. It helps me with my work, Calling says. This interview has been edited for length and clarity. This next article is under the category of streaming. It's titled, Mulaney and Letterman Go Deeper. This by Aaron Jensen of USA Today. 2 comedians walk into a theater and candidly speak about their struggles with addiction and fatherhood. There's no punchline to that premise, though there are jokes served between my next guest needs no introduction host, David Letterman, and John Mulaney, his guest for the special episode now streaming on Netflix. And it's a joy to witness the mutual admiration and sincerity during conversations at a theater in Mulaney's hometown of Chicago, his St. Ignatius College Prep High School, and a restaurant with a very special guest, Mulaney's dad, Chip, whom fans have met through the comics stand-up. Mulaney, aged 41, celebrated 3 years of sobriety last December, but told Letterman that he had zero gratitude for his star-studded intervention and rehabilitation at the time. You try to hide a drug habit for years successfully. Getting found out is quite embarrassing, he says. And then you're totally powerless at an intervention like that. Mulaney says he decided to leave the treatment center after just 4 days, but was persuaded by a doctor to stay. John, we both know how this movie ends, he recalls the physician telling him. And that was it. I just kind of nodded and went back to my room and stayed. Though Mulaney now says he's an alcoholic and drug addict, he previously wouldn't have recognized his addiction to prescription pills. It's just how I lived every day, he says. You wake up, take a couple of Adderall, feel there's too much of an itch, take half a Klonopin, got a little too sleepy, have to finish a script, and then got on the phone, take another Adderall. The Adderall is wearing off, which isn't the best feeling, so let's just take one Adderall with a half a Xanax and just ride that all day long. It was exhausting, Mulaney says, and it was a full-time job. Letterman, aged 77, reflects on his own battles with alcoholism. He says he began drinking at 11 and stopped at age 34, shortly after landing his NBC talk show, Late Night, which premiered in 1982. I thought, I'll never forgive myself if the alcohol causes me to lose that show, he says. Mulaney tells Letterman that he really felt complete after he and partner Olivia Munn welcomed their son, Malcolm, in November of 21. I was starstruck when I met him, the former Saturday Night Live writer says. I went, oh, there you are. You're the thing I couldn't find. I was looking in not good places. Mulaney describes Munn's pregnancy as a big surprise to both. We were really like, huh, he says, getting laughs from the crowd. He says the sense of safety he felt from knowing how much his parents cared about each other is something he and Munn try to replicate. So Olivia and I try to show Malcolm how much we love each other. Fans of Mulaney's stand-up will be delighted to meet Mulaney's father, Charles Chip Mulaney. My dad is a lawyer, and he was a debate team champion, so he would pick us apart psychologically, Mulaney explains in his 2018 special, Kid Gorgeous at Radio City, streaming on Netflix. During his routine, Mulaney also remembers when Chip interrupted his wife's story about a ghost in Mulaney's childhood home. And then my dad said, let's change the subject, Mulaney told the audience. And I think he was just doing that dad thing of like, this is a weird topic and I want to talk about a book I read about World War II. But the way it came off was that he definitely killed that little girl. Ah, none of us really know our fathers, Mulaney added. But Mulaney reveals to Letterman that he idolized Chip growing up, and the three share a tender moment at the restaurant. Chip says he was surprised by his son's dependency on drugs and acknowledges harboring a daily fear that he'd die from it. Mulaney then places his hand on his dad's arm and offers a simple yet moving apology. I'm sorry you were so scared. Well, it's a normal, loving reaction, Chip responds. Letterman realizes the power of the moment. Forgive me, he says. I find the three of us here touching. I just do. And this next article is under the category of movies titled Depp Returns as King Louis XV in Jean Dubarry. Marco Calladava is the author of this article from USA Today. It's a long way from Pirates of the Caribbean to the Palace of Versailles. But that's the journey of Johnny Depp, who goes from playing an 18th century pirate scoundrel to an 18th century monarch, France's King Louis XV, in the French language film Jean du Barry, in theaters on Thursday. The movie officially marks Depp's acting comeback from Hollywood limbo. Think of Jean du Barry as a subtitled combination of Napoleon and Pretty Woman, a stunningly costumed and photograph exploration of how a dynamic modern woman turns stereotypes and preconceptions upside down. The film opened the Cannes Film Festival last May, where a tense Depp told journalists, "I don't have much further need for Hollywood." The star will no doubt prefer the publicity surrounding his screen return to the glaring spotlight ignited by his 2022 defamation case against his ex-wife, actress and model, Amber Heard. Though a civil jury ultimately awarded Depp $10 million and Heard $2 million, the trial exposed shocking claims of mutual physical and emotional abuse. Depp, age 60, started out targeting a career in rock and roll, and over the decades he has played with icons from Joe Perry to Jeff Beck. But his switch to acting, turbocharged by his 80s TV series 21 Jump Street, led the three Best Actors Oscar nominations and no wins, and an iconic role in the Pirates franchise. Here's what we know about Depp's latest star turn. Jean du Barry is in theaters only for 5 days, May 2nd through the 6th, and the movie will stream on Apple TV Plus at a later date. Yes, Johnny Depp delivers all his lines in French in this French movie with English subtitles. His accent is excellent, although his lines are kept concise. More short statements than rambling speeches to best keep the illusion that he is a native speaker. Why does Depp, who is from Kentucky, speak French? From 1998 to 2012, he was in a relationship with French actress and singer Vanessa Paradis. The couple share 2 children and spent their time together shuttling between the U.S. and France. Jean du Barry is based on true events. The title character was a French commoner turned courtesan, a polite term for a high-class prostitute, who lived from 1743 to 1793. She eventually was introduced to King Louis XV, who not only took her as a mistress, but also grew fond of the spirited, intelligent woman. The relationship between the king and the courtesan gathered steam after the king's wife died, but their affair scandalized high society. As the French Revolution neared, du Barry's fate took an unexpected turn. The true force behind Jean du Barry is Depp's co-star, Maiwenn Aurelia Nejima Libesco, age 48, simply known as Maiwenn. She plays du Barry, but also co-wrote and directed the film. Maiwenn, whose professional incarnations have included stand-up comedian, actress, and filmmaker, has had a complex personal life. She met French director Luc Besson of The Fifth Element when she was just 12 and he was 29. She married him at age 16 and immediately had a daughter with him, Shanna. When she was 20 in 1996, Besson left her for his Fifth Element star, Mila Jovovich. Maiwenn stirred controversy when she was quoted in Britain's The Independent as saying Depp was scary and difficult to work with on the set. She later clarified those comments, saying she was simply referring to the actor's inherent star status. Speculation and rumors continue to swirl around whether Depp will ever return to his role as Captain Jack Sparrow, a perpetually drunk and exceedingly crafty pirate who pilots his Black Pearl while plundering treasure around the Caribbean. The movie series, based on a Disney theme park ride of the same name, ran from 2003 to 2017 and has grossed $4.5 billion worldwide. But while another installment would provide a lucrative payday for Depp, fans should temper expectations. Producer Jerry Bruckheimer cryptically told comicbook.com in March that we're going to reboot Pirates. But whether Depp will be a part of such a comeback remains unclear. During the Depp v. Heard trial, the actor was asked by Heard's lawyer, Ben Rottenborg. The fact is, Mr. Depp, if Disney came to you with a $300 million and a million alpacas, nothing on this earth would get you to go back and work with Disney on a Pirates of the Caribbean film, correct? Depp's curt response? That is true. And that was the final article from USA Today, Life section. And as we have a bit more time, I will read an article or so from the Life section of USA Today Online. This article under Life, Health, and Wellness. Can drinking apple cider vinegar help you lose weight? Here's what experts have to say. This is written by Daryl Austin. While an apple a day might not actually keep the doctor away, apple cider vinegar is rich in many nutrients of its own. The fermented juice that comes from apples has an active ingredient that experts say may marginally help with weight loss, and the product has some other health benefits too. But apple cider vinegar is not the magic weight loss answer some promote it to be, and some medical professionals have soured on over-promoting its benefits while research is ongoing. Still, there are at least a few known advantages of occasionally including the vinegar in one's diet, and almost no known harms. What is apple cider vinegar? As its name suggests, apple cider vinegar is literally vinegar made from apples. It's produced by pressing apples into apple juice and then allowing it to ferment. The yeast and water blend is often mixed with sugar and has become a popular ingredient in foods such as pickles, salad dressings, and marinades. It's sometimes sold in pill, gummy, or powder form, but is most commonly purchased in grocery stores as a pasteurized, clear, and filtered product. In unfiltered form of the liquid it all is also available. This type includes a thick, cloudy layer of probiotic bacteria on the surface of the vinegar known as the mother. So the mother is the layer of apple cider vinegar that contains the probiotics that are promoted as being good for the gut health. But supporting research is sparse. Acetic acid is the main active ingredient in apple cider vinegar and in other types of vinegar, and has been associated with positive health outcomes, such as reducing some risk factors associated with heart disease. Josh Redd, NMD, author of The Truth About Low Thyroid, says additional research shows that consuming apple cider vinegar may also help lower cholesterol, particularly in people with type 2 diabetes. The vinegar is also rich in magnesium, potassium, phosphorus, and calcium, which are essential minerals for health and proper organ function. Apple cider vinegar is packed with antioxidants that scavenge free radicals from one's blood cells to prevent or reduce illness or disease. But can apple cider vinegar help you lose weight? Apple cider vinegar has also been connected with aiding weight loss. Such assertions usually include a small study that found that consuming the vinegar could prevent obesity by improving metabolism and inflammation issues. Lisa Young, PhD, an adjunct professor of nutrition at New York University and author of Finally Full, Finally Slim, says the vinegar has also been shown to increase feelings of fullness, which in turn can decrease appetite. She says the suggested amount of apple cider vinegar to take daily should be no more than 1 to 2 tablespoons. Consuming apple cider vinegar with meals may also help reduce blood sugar spikes and improve insulin sensitivity, which can help promote weight loss. Red adds that such research is still ongoing. Until more conclusive results come in, he says one can still glean some other of the health benefits of the product safely, so long as the doses remain small. Even then, because of its high acidity, apple cider vinegar can erode teeth enamel over time and should be diluted with water, he suggests. Barbara Olensky, a registered dietitian and associate professor of population and quantitative health sciences at UMass Chan Medical School, agrees that diluting the product is wise, and says that while vinegar is no magic bullet against obesity, there is some ongoing research that suggests it may be beneficially helpful to one's gut microbiome. And that is very important in losing weight, she says. And I think there's time for one more article from the Life section online of USA Today. This under Health and Wellness, titled Justin Bieber broke down crying on Instagram. Men should pay attention. This written by Charles Trepany of USA Today. Justin Bieber is sharing his tears for the world to see. And by doing so, he's sending an important message to men. That message is that it's okay to cry. Something experts in psychology have said is crucial for men to understand, especially as it pertains to forming lasting relationships and boosting their overall well-being. People tend to have certain expectations for what behaviors are typical and expected of men and women of U.S. society, says Sapna Sherian, professor of social psychology at the University of Washington. Women, and not men, are expected to be the nurturers and caregivers. When someone violates these expectations, it can be surprising and draw attention. On Sunday, Bieber posted a series of photos on Instagram, including pictures of him performing on stage. Two of the pictures, however, were selfies that showed tears streaming down his face. The singer did not share what made him cry or the context of his photos. His crying drew plenty of strong reactions in the comments section, where fans flocked to express their concern. The singer's wife, Hailey Bieber, also offered support, calling her husband a pretty crier. The crying photos of Bieber surprised some fans. However, people shouldn't be too shocked. After all, opinions of masculinity are changing, and that includes society's acceptance of men who share their feelings. Benjamin Calixte, founder of Therapy for Black Men, previously explained that watching classic manly men, like professional athletes such as Travis and Jason Kelce, for example, cry reminds us emotions don't discriminate based on sex and gender. Men are becoming more emotionally expressive than ever, Calixte says. The trope of men don't cry is a thing of the past, which is a complete paradigm shift. That concludes this evening's reading for today, Wednesday, May the 1st. This is Heather Kinney reading for Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Thanks for listening.